Amen. Thanks, guys. Ooh, why don't you just close your eyes right now where you are and just take a deep breath. Breathe Him in. Breathe the Holy Spirit in. We just breathe You in right now, Holy Spirit. We drink deep of You, Holy Spirit. You are real. Your love is real. You love us. We just invite You to come and just, as these guys are sharing, just solidify our love for You. That what is within us in our spirits would become more dominant than the religious conditioning we have received in our minds. Holy Spirit, we just invite You now. Thank You. Tonight's going to be an interesting night, and I want you all to participate and be part of it, okay? So, just get ready. You'll know when. You'll know when, okay? I'd like to talk about activating the new creation. The Bible says that if a man is in Christ, he is a new creation. And I'm going to show you the verse a little bit later. And I have a couple of things just to get through. How we activate the new creation. You see, I've shared it before, and if you didn't know, if a man has come to Christ and they put their faith in Him, what happens is the Holy Spirit comes in them and they become a new person. But what is left is an unrenewed mind. We have a flesh which, if it drinks alcohol, it enjoys the feeling of what happens when you have too much of it. It enjoys the flesh enjoys anything that stimulates it, which could be smoking, eating, even sexual acts stimulate the flesh. So the flesh is neutral, but it enjoys that which stimulates it. But our spirits have become new, have become birthed, have come alive, right? But we're left with an unrenewed mind and flesh, which is entirely neutral. And if our flesh is stimulated, even as a Christian, we, depending on where we're at in terms of walking in the Spirit, and I'm going to explain this a little bit later, depending on where we're at, we can be enticed into that moment of indulging in the flesh. You understand? And I'm going to explain this a little bit later. And what I want to talk about is, to overcome those moments where we indulge in the flesh, we need to activate what's within, our new creation. Okay? You see, if you had a switch right now that you could turn on inside your body, you could flick it, that the moment you flick it, you will never indulge in immorality, sin, or anything like that. Would you flick it? How many of you would flick that? If you know when you flick that switch, you'll never get angry with anyone again. Both hands there. We got two handers there. You'll never swear. You'll never you'll never indulge in the sinful nature. How many of you would flick that? You flick it, right? Absolutely. But there isn't that switch. But the very fact that you want to flick that switch tells me there's something going on inside your heart. You see, if you're not born again, there's a good chance that you'd be weighing up that option. You'd be like, well, I don't know if I'd want to, because I kind of enjoy my lifestyle. I enjoy what I'm into. I enjoy what I... Because there's nothing inside of you that wants to stop that and wants to please God. And I'm going to explain all this later. Okay. My first point tonight is, we cannot underemphasize the power of being born again. And I'd like us to read John 3. And Graham, I know I've put it on my PowerPoint, but if you can go to the open song and read it, because a lot of people are in the dark there. I've just asked to keep the lights off. It's nice and different. Kind of helps you to focus on me. I'm in the spotlight right now, okay? So deal with that. No, I thought it'd be nice and different to do that. Amen. We're gonna read from chapter 3, verse 3. And if you can just keep going with me, we're gonna jump around John 3. Alright, Graham? Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he says, Rabbi, what must we do? How can a man be born again? And he gets into it. And we pick it up in verse 3. Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. In other words, no man can experience the kingdom of God unless he is born again. The kingdom of God in Scripture, in the book of Romans, is righteousness, peace, and joy. True joy, true peace, true righteousness. You cannot experience true peace in your heart unless you have been born again. Now, what is being born again? Let's just have a look here. It keeps going in verse 4. How can a man be born again when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Key verses, verse 6. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. What Jesus is saying is, when you were born on your birthday by your mom and dad, that was your fleshly birth. And you became alive in the flesh. But your spirit, he's saying, spirit gives birth to spirit. In essence, what he's saying is your spirit's dead. And it needs to come alive. And the only way that spirit can come alive is by God himself, who is spirit. The Holy Spirit coming and making you a new creation. Now what happens is, you become a new being altogether on the inside out. And that's why I believe this is one of the most underestimated truths in the church today. Being born again. We cannot underestimate who you are. Who we are as Christians. We are new people, set apart, as we've seen in Scripture, 100% righteous. 100% made righteous as Jesus was. In an instant, in a moment. And then we go around telling people that you're not good enough, you're not righteous enough. Come on, you've got to jack up. But friends, we need to realize that when the Holy Spirit came on a person, they were set apart in a moment. They were instantly a new being. And just before I get into this new creation truth, I'm feeling to do something which we often do at the end. I would like to ask you, if you don't know that you have been born again, then I would be privileged to pray with you right now. It goes on to say in verse 14, I'm going to read from verse 14 to verse 17. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Not everyone who pursues to the end. Everyone who lives a good life. No, everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Now what's the significance of verse 14? It says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert. And here we start realizing how the Bible is so perfectly weaved together. The story is, the Israelites were grumbling so much that God sent serpents, snakes, into their camp to bite them. And if they got bitten, they would die. Eventually they would die because the venom would kill the Israelites. And then Moses went to God and he said, God, what must we do? And God says, I want you to make a bronze snake, a snake out of bronze, and then you need to lift it up in the middle of the camp and tell the Israelites, whoever looked, if they've been bitten by one of these snakes, whoever looks at that bronze snake will be healed in an instant. Not anything they do, not anything, they don't need to try and cut out the area where they've been bitten. They just look, and in an instant, they are healed. immediately. And what happened is, because of Adam, we were born with the venom of sin within us. And so, in the same way that Moses lifted up this bronze snake in the desert, Jesus has been lifted up in the desert. The cross is shouting to all creation. And we simply look at Christ Jesus on the cross. And in an instant, the venom of sin, which was pulsating through our veins, is healed. And no longer are we driven by sin flowing through our veins. Literally, it was inside. It's removed. And then it goes on to say, whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. And we know verse 16 so well. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, that sin pulsating through our veins separates us from God. And by simply believing in Him, that sin is dealt with in a moment, and we don't perish, and we will be with Him forever. Not, well, if you believe in Him and then live a holy life. No, believe in Him, and my friend, you will be with Him forever. And so according to this truth, my friend, if you don't know that that sin within you has been dealt with on the cross of Jesus, you haven't put your faith in what Jesus did on the cross, then I'd like to invite you tonight to do so. Why don't we all just close our eyes right now? And if that's you, you know who I'm talking about. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to do anything that's going to embarrass you. I don't want to try and highlight you and make an example of you. Not at all, my friend. This is the love of God that is pulsating in this place that wants you to respond to what He did. He so loved you, my friend, that He made a way. He hasn't asked you to make a way. He made a way for you to just come directly into His presence. And you don't know that you've been born again. I'd like you to raise your hand right now. You're not 100% sure. That's wonderful. Thank you, Father. You just don't know if that's you. Thank you. I saw those hands. If there's anyone else, why don't you just raise your hand right now? Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're not 100% sure that the Holy Spirit has come on you and given birth to your spirit. And you've become alive within. Why don't you just raise your hand right now and I'm going to pray for you. Is there anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Holy Spirit, I pray for these people right now. We just ask You to come as they've put their faith in You right now. They've responded to You. I ask You, Holy Spirit, to do something so radical within them that they would know that You love them. That they would know Your love, they would experience Your love in an instant. Holy Spirit, I pray You would pour out everything that You have for them right now in Jesus' name. Thank You, Holy Spirit, that according to this truth, they've seen You, Jesus, on the cross. And according to that glorious truth, they believe in You and they are born again. And they will, from this day forward, experience the kingdom, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Why don't we just give Jesus a shout in this place? Thank You, Lord. Now here has what has happened to you tonight. Maybe you weren't 100% sure and you responded. You may have been born again at an earlier point and you're just not 100% sure. Well, I pray that the Holy Spirit would give you assurance tonight that you know that you are born again. Now let's just have a look at this glorious truth of what's just happened. And according to those people that responded, I would say that the rest of you are born again people. Now let's have a look at what this means. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you can have that one up. I haven't put that in my PowerPoint, Graham. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. I'm going to read through to about verse 21. In fact, start at verse 16, Graham. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. That's incredible. It's just not worth looking at people on the outside. Because God's not into that. You know that? in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel 16 verse 7, God says, don't look at the outward appearance. I don't look at their outward appearance. I look at the heart. And I've chosen none of these men here to be the next king. Because on the outside they may look good, but on the inside there's a heart that isn't after me. I look at the heart. And so we're so interested in looking at the outward. And here Paul says, I've so come to know the love of God that I no longer look at anybody in this way, any longer. I look at them according to the Spirit. And then it goes on to say, in verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, is that you? Are you in Christ? Amen, you're in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself. God, this is the business that God is in. God is in reconciling mankind to Himself. This is what He's about. He's about love. He's about mankind knowing His love. This is what He's into. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. Not counting men's sins against them. Men's. That's everyone. Not counting men's sins against them. And He committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. God has ordained preaching that we appeal to those that would listen, that God is making His appeal through us. That God, as though He was making His appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him, Jesus, who had no sin whatsoever, to be sin. To be sin itself. It doesn't say to take on sin, but to be sin. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us. So that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. This, friends, I believe is... This is my favorite verse, by the way. Corrine, I believe, spoke about the oil. Was it on Friday night or last week? Sunday. It was probably Friday night, eh? But heavenly oil came in a meeting once, and I've put it on this verse, because this is my favorite verse. Friends, the day we realize this will change everything. I love what Steve has been saying recently. He's been saying, as a preacher, it's not my job to tell you how to live and what to do. My job is to tell you who you are. And my friend, you are the righteousness of God. No, but James, what about when I got angry? When the taxi swerved in front of me and I got angry and I swore. What about then? My friend, if any man is in Christ, he is, present tense, he is a new creation. The old has gone, past tense, and the new has come. It's a done work. It's a finished work. And you now are the righteousness of God. I would like you to think about this for a moment. If it's as if though you had fasted for 40 days and hadn't complained once. It's as if though you had built hundreds of orphanages around the world and fed millions of little children. It's as if though you had given away everything you ever earned. You had worked harder than any man had ever worked, and you had given away everything you had ever worked for to the poor. And you haven't complained once. Can you imagine a person that's done all that? How righteous they must be. Friends, it's more than that. You are as righteous as that and more. You are the righteousness of God. Jesus Christ, the righteousness of Jesus, the perfection of who He was that walked this earth. That's you. That's how God sees you. But James, that is entirely unfair. That's ludicrous. That's crazy. I don't believe that. That's heresy. Friends, Scripture, firstly, and secondly, God made him, Jesus, to have all the sin of the world. He became sin itself, the sin of the world. He took it upon himself so that you might become the righteousness of God. Friends, you ask, how can I be righteous? How can he become sin? The God himself became sin. And because of that truth, you are a new creation. You're a new person. And now, just to share what this means, the word there, new, there's two different kinds of new in the Greek. And the word here, the Greek word there is kainos. The other Greek word for new means like, I'll use Benjamin Dunn's example. If I got a new pair of these shoes, that would be, I forget what the Greek word is, but that would be that kind of new, right? So I've got these shoes that I have a few scuffs on, they're flicking a little bit, and then I got a new pair of shoes just like these island styles. They look exactly the same, but they're just brand new. That would be that kind of new. Eva. Nuva. Nuva. I'll just call it Nuva. Okay. We'll call it Nuva for tonight. That's that Greek word, Nuva, right? Okay? You follow? Okay, so it's like a brand new pair of shoes. But this word here, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation, is the Greek word is kainos. Kainos means that these shoes got thrown away, and according to Scripture, they actually got nailed with Jesus. They got nailed with him on the cross, right here, nailed with him on the cross. As he was getting whipped, it was just all the old, everything of every human being was just getting thrown on him, getting whipped, and then he got nailed, right? So these shoes got nailed on the cross, and what I get now is these rocket ships that fly, and I can fly wherever I want to. I can go to new planets. I can just flick them, and all of a sudden I defy gravity, and I jump up and down, and I can do whatever I want. And they never get old. They never get scuffed. They never get run out of petrol. Nothing. They are completely, entirely different to what this is. Completely different. That's what the word kainos means. Entirely different from what the old was. And that's who you are, friend. You are entirely new. Completely new. Spiritually. John 4 says that God is spirit. And those who worship, worship in spirit. So the key is, we have been birthed spiritually. It's our spirits who have become new. Brand new. Completely different to anything else on the planet. Nothing, this whole world is actually entirely different to the system of God. The kingdom of heaven is entirely different to what this planet is. We see flecks of it, and we just see the glorious creation, and we see what he's done, but then we begin to see what is going on and how everything's rotting. That's not God, friends. That is because of the fall, and the world is crumbling. That's not God's system. You know, do you know that in the Garden of Eden, the lion and the lamb would walk together? The lion wouldn't eat the lamb. It actually says, go look in Genesis, they would eat, all the animals would eat plants. That's what it says. So, you, my friend, are a new creation that is completely different to anything else that this planet is. Entirely different. But it's spiritual. So the key is activating what is within. Maybe this is going over your head. Okay. How? How do I activate it? How? Okay, my second point is this. The key is activating. Oh, well done, James. You already said that. The key is activating the new creation. How? Galatians 5:16. I'd like us to just read this. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would help me. I say then, walk in the Spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. You see, the flesh is going against. Now, I'll be honest with you. Me personally, I can get irritated. I can get frustrated sometimes. I can say things that I don't mean. Happens in marriage. Not so often, hopefully. But we say things that we don't mean. And my spirit doesn't want to do those things when I'm getting frustrated and angry, and I may say something to my wife that I don't mean. My spirit doesn't want to, but my flesh does. It's the flesh to do those things. So the spirit is going against what my flesh wants. And these are contrary to one another, lest whatever you may will, these things you do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Alright, the key to this verse is the first part. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. I believe the key here, friends, is to be completely addicted to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is what activates that new creation within you. It's being in His Spirit, it's being in that place where we are entirely consumed by Him, and slowly but surely we begin to be entirely consumed, where our flesh and our minds come into alignment with that new creation that I have been made. But, okay, practically how? Look, unfortunately I don't exactly have 10 steps to activating the new creation, but the Holy Spirit does, and one day we'll find them. Acts 4:31 says that the Holy Spirit came on them and filled them, and yet they had been filled on the day of Pentecost. I find that very interesting. Because it wasn't just a once-off, filled with the Holy Spirit, go out and preach the word, and then that's it. No, it happened again in Acts 4. And again, and I believe it constantly happened whenever they came together. The Holy Spirit came upon them, consumed them, and all of a sudden, it says in Acts 4, it actually says they went out and preached the word boldly. They did exactly what they did on the day of Pentecost, again. So it's coming together, it's coming in a place where we just allow Him, we just say, Holy Spirit, come, come, come. Friends, we've got to recognize, now you know me, I love the Bible. I love the Bible. I love the Bible. I mean it. I love it. But, it's not Father, Son, and Holy Word. It's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There is too much fear which the devil has sold the church into believing that when you go after the Holy Spirit, you are going to get into weird and wacky stuff. Friends, it's a lie from the devil. It's control. It's the control spirit. We need the Holy Spirit if we are to live this life. Without Him, it's dry and boring. And signs and wonders will confirm the Word. It'll be confirmed, friends. We don't need to go to the Bible and then do it. It'll happen, and the Word will confirm what's happened. My third point is, we must not be afraid of activating the new creation in the Spirit. We must not be afraid of activating the new creation in the Spirit. And that's what I've just said there. For me personally, we're all on a journey. I haven't got there. I'm working this out. But I am more in love with Jesus than I ever have been in my entire life. The Scripture has never been so alive to me. It's never been so real to me. I've never felt such love for people, for Jesus, for my Father. Never in my life. Since I began on this journey of His presence. See, the Holy Spirit is His presence. And before, I'm not joking, I genuinely believe, before it was just dry religion. My life, my walk with God was just dry religion. But since I began tapping into what is available to me, and it started, I've shared the story with you, early January last year most likely, that's when it really started, I started scratching the surface, and it's the deeper I've gone, the faster the water flows. And I find, just for me personally, the best way to activate my spirit, what is within, is corporate meetings. Corporate meetings like this, where we worship together, we come together. Jesus said in Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. Now, does that mean that He wasn't there in the first place? No. It means He has come in a greater measure. And so when we come together, when we encourage one another, when we talk about who He is, His glory, when we talk about it, when we worship, there's a greater measure of His presence. Another way for me is music. Even today, just had a fairly long weekend, and then just before I came this evening, I just wanted to get my mind right in sharing with you this evening. As you can see, it worked. That was sarcasm. Not arrogance. But just before I came, I put on some music. Sean Foyt, we had him here last year, I think, or early this year. And I just put on some of his music, and I just lay down in my chair. And it's such beautiful music that sings of His presence that it activated everything in my mind, my tiredness, everything. Just almost faded away, and that which is burning within me came alive. There's something about activating who we are. And so what I'd like us to do is activate. We're going to activate tonight. If I could ask the team to come up, the worship team. And I've asked the Fusion team, a few of the Fusion people, to make a fire tunnel. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a fire tunnel this evening. And if you've never heard of a fire tunnel in your life, don't worry, we're not going to get flamethrowers and burn you. What a fire tunnel is. You see, in the book of Acts, it says that the Holy Spirit came down what looked to be like tongues of fire. And when the Holy Spirit comes, often we feel heat, we feel fire burning within us, and so we've just called it a fire tunnel. It's like a tunnel, and then we pray for each other, and so the fire comes. So it's a logical conclusion to call it a fire tunnel. Alright. Now, here's what we're going to do. When I just ask, I'm going to ask the Fusion guys to make two lines facing each other, but I'd like the Fusion guys to, if someone falls down, which often happens in a fire tunnel, if someone falls down, if you could just pick them up and move them over to the side, just move them out the way. And then what I'd like us to do, please, is to keep walking. So you're going to come through the fire tunnel, and you can go slowly like so, but please keep walking, okay? We're going to have a fairly large tunnel, but keep walking because we've got quite a few people here tonight. So I'd like us to keep moving. So just be aware of that, and even the Fusion guys, just, you know, pray for each person and let them come past and even usher them through, alright? And now, what's going to happen is it's by faith. You see, the Bible says, incredibly, in 2 Corinthians 5, just before He said that if any man's in Christ, he is a new creation, just before that, in verse 7, it says, we walk by faith and not by sight. And for me, for my whole Christian life, I have no doubt that I was a born-again Christian, but I looked at everything and I analyzed everything. And you know, when the Holy Spirit started drawing me, He said, James, I've got more for you, I suddenly realized I need to abandon the analyzation of everything and just let Him in. We walk by faith and not by sight, and so it's by faith. Rodney Howard Brown, who's seen millions of people saved around the world, he has a ministry whereby he actually laughs and he gets everyone to just laugh, ha ha ha. And then as they laugh in the flesh, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just comes and activates them and they laugh supernaturally. It's incredible. And so what this is a faith thing. You're going to walk through, and by faith, the people who are praying for you are going to lay hands on you, and the Holy Spirit's going to come and touch you. If you don't feel anything, that's great, because you have no idea what God's doing in you. I have no doubt. I honestly believe this journey for me was activated when Steve came back from Hong Kong. I'll never forget it. I was there, we were in an elders prayer meeting. He prayed for each elder. He laid hands on me and he said, "Lord, I pray for a deeper hunger for the presence of God." Now, it wasn't what he said that I remembered. It was something that the Holy Spirit did in me in that moment. And so I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel oozy woozy. I just, something changed within. And all of a sudden, the journey began and it went deeper and deeper. And so you may not feel anything. That's great. But please, I encourage you, come through. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Come through and then go back to your seat. That's great. But you might not get back to your seat. So, Fusion guys, won't you come, all the Fusion team?